This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Many of us know just how important volunteers are to church organisations, not-for-profit organisations. Often they are the first to arrive, the last to leave, setting up venues, greeting guests, and oftentimes being the first point of contact for your customers and clients. Alpha Crucis President Stephen Fogarty is passionate about motivating volunteer organisations, and in this chat we hear his tips for how you can motivate your teams well, and this idea of transformational leadership, why he thinks it's the key to really thriving in a volunteer-led space.
Well, we're really talking about leadership that gets emotionally involved with followers. It's inspirational and moral leadership rather than directional or authoritarian leadership. It's an attempt by leaders to engage personally with those who they're seeking to influence, with the ultimate goal of inspiring their motivation for the task at hand.
Why do you think that kind of leadership is so important?
Well, in a church or a not-for-profit setting, I think it's incredibly important because remember that essentially churches and not-for-profits are volunteer organisations. So you're dealing with people who are coming to you out of the goodness of their heart, giving you time, perhaps giving you money, certainly giving you a great deal of effort. And what do they get in return? What they really want is to gain a sense of personal satisfaction. And when they're pursuing that type of thing, they need leaders who understand that and who are able to give them some of the satisfaction that they're internally seeking to gain from their involvement.
And it really redefines the idea of your leader or your boss being someone that just gives you orders and more into somebody who you have a relationship with. And if it is in that church context, it's something about a job that we do together, not just I'll give you an instruction and you'll accomplish this task.
Indeed. It has to be something that we do together. The notion of a very up-high, authoritarian, remote leader, it just doesn't really work in a church setting. I know it's been tried many times in the past, but particularly in our day, where people are far more egalitarian, have a sense of what they bring to the situation. They need a leader who's willing to get in there and demonstrate by personal example what it means to serve this cause. I think they need a leader who's able to just paint a vision or a picture of hope. You know, we're doing this to achieve this. So the future's a bit brighter than the present. There's something good that we're looking forward to as we get into this. So to inspire hope in them, I think they need leaders who recognise that as individuals, as volunteers, they bring something to the party, and the leader's not trying to mould them into some shape, but rather allowing them to demonstrate their capacity, their creativity, their problem-solving skills. And I think finally, they need leaders who understand that they're individuals. They're not just cogs in the wheel. They're not just people who are participating in a project. They're individuals with strengths and weaknesses and families, and they need to be recognised and embraced and looked after, loved, in fact.
It's the skills of a coach, in a way, that really play into that. And your interest in this kind of leadership, it's often been very much linked to that conversation around motivating volunteers and working within volunteer-based communities. Where does your interest in that dynamic come from?
Really come from my pastoral background. Before doing this job, I was a pastor in Western Australia. And it became apparent pretty quickly, as I said earlier, that churches are volunteer organisations. You know, you can be caught up in the lofty aspirations of proclaiming the gospel and expect people just to sort of latch onto that. But in reality, you can't run a church unless you can motivate an army of individuals. And I suggest that the most successful churches, in the end, are those who motivate volunteers over a long period of time to perform a high-quality volunteer service. So it really just hit me like a brick, really. It's so obvious when you put it in those terms. We sometimes spiritualise what we're doing in church too much, and, you know, it's the work of the Holy Spirit and it's the power of the gospel, and I believe in all of those things. But in the end, a church minister is a leader of a volunteer organisation, and he or she needs to understand that and needs to start to behave in such a way as to inspire what I would call intrinsic or inner motivation from the people they're working with. So that's what really drove it. I think that churches can be more effective in everything they do if they've got volunteers who maintain motivation for a long period of time.
And, I mean, there's probably a couple of church pastors listening right now, the people that oversee the volunteer groups, thinking, yes, if only I had better volunteers, more committed teams.
Yeah,
and you mentioned there that there are certain things you can do that help with that. So what are some of the leadership attributes that will actually help you be a leader that motivates your volunteers?
The very first step is that if you're going to inspire volunteers, you've got to lead by example. You've got to exemplify the values of your organisation. I think we all get this. Hypocrisy is death in a church. It undermines trust. It undermines value congruence. So number one, lead by example. But number two, if you're going to lead volunteers, you really do have to inspire their sense of optimism and their sense of enthusiasm for the task. And the way you do that is to show them why are we doing this, where we're going, what's the desired future. You know, we're all looking forward to that glorious new day that's promised in the New Testament. But what does next year look like in your organisation? So without over-projecting, can you paint a picture of a desired future? And the best leaders do that without over-promising. They keep people looking ahead, looking forward. Because if you're not looking forward, you get caught up in the morass of present-day problems. But then again, I think that leaders have got to lead in such a way that they don't micromanage or squash people. You know, I think that volunteers, I said earlier, they bring needs to the volunteer context. I think they bring at least four needs, four inner needs, intrinsic needs, if you like, that if they feel they're being met, they'll maintain high motivation. And the first one, I think, is that volunteers need to be granted a certain degree of autonomy. They can't be micromanaged. There's a task, there are some outcomes, there's a sandpit, if you like. Put them in the sandpit and let them show you what they're capable of doing. Related to that is I think every one of us want to demonstrate that we're good at something. We want to show mastery. So I think as leaders, we can allow people the possibility of demonstrating their mastery. Again, it's this avoiding micromanaging, avoiding delving in too often, chopping and changing. Just make the game plan clear and let them have a go. I think also, and this one's obvious to Christians, volunteers need friendships and relationships. So good leadership works really hard on creating a friendly, safe, supporting environment where people actually feel like they build friendships and sustaining relationships. And finally, I think volunteers need to sense purpose. That goes back to my idea of why we're doing this. Why would I keep doing something year after year after year after year unless I sensed that it was meaningful? It's meaningful to me personally, but obviously I'd connect that meaning to the gospel and to the cause of the church. And while these things are sort of obvious, it seems to me that often in church life we forget about them and we get caught up in the task and just getting people to do the job and forgetting that they've got these drives within them.
It makes it's simple, but it does make it a massive realization that leadership takes skill, because doing all of those things well, like you've got to give it attention to do that. And being a leader in this day and age, I think, is a really sort of risky is not necessarily the right word, but the world has become so noisy in the way that people share their opinions, how we relate to one another, and then leaders are needed, but it's a pretty dangerous role to stick your head up and say, well, this is my opinion and this is the way I'd like to move forward. How do you think the role of a leader has changed over the last sort of 25 years or so?
Whether it's changed or whether our perception of what it is has changed, I think effective leadership probably worked back then as much as it does now, but we've rethought it a little bit. I think the notion, as I said earlier, of you know, a powerful, dominant, great man who provides leadership, it's not very attractive to most people these days, and people don't relate to that at all. So I think a leader needs to demonstrate enough humility to put themselves on the level of those who are leading. Even the notion of leaders and followers, while I believe in it, you probably want to downplay that dichotomy a little bit. You know, we're working together for a common cause, and we have different roles within that function. So I think a leader needs to downplay the gap between them and the people they're seeking to work with and influence. I think, though, a leader still needs to provide certainty, certainly a Christian leader, in a day of absolute uncertainty about what's true, what's not true, what's moral, what's not moral, what's appropriate and inappropriate. People are still looking for certainty, not in a very, very rigid and dogmatic way, but in a pastoral way and in a warm, caring way. So a leader needs to provide certainty. I think as leaders we need to contemplate how we inspire confidence, as I mentioned before, with our behaviour and our message. And I think leaders today more so need to demonstrate compassion. People are crying out for empathy and a warm embrace. And again, you can't get away from the fact that the leader as an example or an exemplar is just so incredibly important today.
Mm.
If you don't have that, you just don't have the moral persuasion that people are going to respond to.
Yeah, we certainly look for strong leaders. And some of what you mentioned there, I guess, touches on this. But what do you think the top priority is for leaders in this day and age, church leaders particularly, in the way that they engage their churches with the community around them and the role of leading the church forward into the future?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's provide certainty based on the gospel message. Do it with confidence. Demonstrate personal confidence in the message. I think a leader cannot be seen to vacillate, to be uncertain, to be unsure about the message, and do it with great compassion. You know, the motivation must be love for people. I remember years ago, I think it's James McGregor Burns said that transformational leadership is inspirational leadership that engages morally with people. It captures their hearts and inspires them to see a vision of a better future. Now, he wasn't thinking particularly in a Christian manner, but it's, that is so Christian that we engage morally with people and let them see how individuals and communities and societies can be enhanced by the very best values that the gospel of Jesus Christ conveys.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.